Hello and welcome to the Imprint Weekly Podcast. I'm John Kelly, senior editor of The Imprint, a daily news site covering child welfare and youth justice around the country. You can read all of our coverage at imprintnews.org or check us out on Facebook or Twitter at The Imprint News. You can sign up on our homepage for our free weekly and monthly newsletters. And for professionals in child welfare and youth justice, subscribe to our Youth Services Insider section for a closer look at news on business policy and practice. The Imprint Weekly Podcast is also a member of the Safe Camp Audio Network. Check out our show page and all of Safe Camp's other great podcasts at safecampaudio.org on the web, at Safe Camp Audio on all social media. So the real episode for this week is coming on Wednesday, and it is awesome. I thought I would use our regular time slot here on Monday to give a little preview of it and feature an interview with the folks who are involved in producing it. It's called Healing the Children of Horse Nations, which again, you're going to get on this feed on Wednesday. And it takes readers, viewers, and listeners deep inside of rural Oregon's Indian country where elders are indigenizing social work through equine therapy for young people who have experienced foster care and or the youth justice system. This is a collaboration between the Imprint's Indigenous Children and Families reporter, Nancy Marie Spears, podcast producers Julie and Mara Reynolds. Julie is also our associate editor. And visual storyteller Josue Rivas. This is a multimedia package, so you can hear the podcast here on Wednesday, then go to the Imprint at imprintnews.org, and you can read Nancy's story, which is quite different than the podcast show, and a large collection of Josue's beautiful photography for this project. So today I'm going to play you a short interview I did with Nancy, Julie, and Mara, just about how the podcast came together. Julie talks a little bit about season three of Gray Area, which is her podcast series. And this is sort of like one joint episode that we did with Gray Area. So they'll tell you all about how this story came together, some of the people involved in it, all that. And then I will also feature a brief trailer for the podcast if you want to listen to, you know, 2-3 minute clip just to get a sense of what's coming on Wednesday. So without further ado, let's get to my conversation with the team from Healing the Children of Horse Nations. All right, so I've got with me here Julie Reynolds, associate editor for The Imprint, but also host and co-producer of the Gray Area podcast, Mara Reynolds, her co-producer on Gray Area, and Nancy Marie Spears, reporter on Indigenous Children and Families for The Imprint, who collaborated on a truly amazing podcast story that will be out this week called Healing the Children of Horse Nations. At the center of this, it's a story about an equine therapy treatment program run by these long-term social workers for Indigenous youth who have had experience, you know, either with the child welfare system or youth justice or both. But it's really so much more than that. And we'll talk to these guys a little bit about it, but come check it out when it comes out this Wednesday. Julie, let's start with you. This is the third season of Gray Area. Can you tell folks a little bit about what the theme is for this season and how this particular episode came to be a part of it?
Sure. Yeah, it's our third season, and it's called Elders. It focuses on people who have survived historical trauma, systemic injustice, but they're people who have worked their whole lives to try to prevent those kinds of harm and address that kind of harm in the youth. So these are people who have experienced their own trauma, but despite that, are constantly giving back to their own communities. It just kind of came about from our last season, which was about a man who survived 2 decades of incarceration, is we were just thinking about people who've experienced trauma and why they play such a big role in healing others from their trauma or preventing that kind of trauma and how they find the strength to do that. And it just kind of morphed into this idea of, oh, we need to really celebrate these people. We started talking to people and they had amazing histories because not only have they been helping people all their lives, but they were involved in very important historical moments, as happened in this podcast particularly, you know, which was Nancy Marie Spears from The Imprint. You know, I'll let her talk about that, but she started working with this man, John Spence, who does equine therapy. And we just realized he would be a great elder to kind of introduce the whole series. But I'll let her talk more about him.
Yeah, that's a pro segue from a pro podcaster right there, which I will pick up on. So Nancy, yeah, tell us like how you came into John's orbit. Obviously, he's a main character here. They're real people. But tell us who else we're going to meet along the way for people that listen to this episode and how you came to know about this. And I set it up a little bit. Yes, it's about this program, but it's about more than that. Tell the folks a little bit about what all went into this and what experiences you had with John and others.
Yeah. So thank you for that question. This story really came about in a very, I would say, serendipitous way. It was something we weren't necessarily seeking out to do a story about this. It kind of just fell in our lap in a very beautiful way. I had met Mr. Spence at a NICWA conference. The National Indian Tribal Affairs Association has an annual conference, and we had met in the conference that they did in Reno last year. He did this seminar on healing with horses and this kind of idea of cultural reclamation around horse nations and alternative therapy options for Indigenous foster youth and youth that are in juvenile justice systems. And I was just very enamored by this idea of healing through animal kinships. You know, it's something I've seen firsthand, not only in my own life, but in plenty of other Indigenous people's lives, and people who aren't Indigenous, you know, often find a lot of healing through animal kinships. And so this was just a story that I felt very privileged to do, quite honestly, just because this is a very personal thing to Mr. Spence. It's a very personal thing to the other elders who are, you know, in their late 70s, early 80s, as Julie said, still doing this work to help heal other people's trauma, despite being involved in so much of their own. And so I sat through the NICWA conference where Mr. Spence was doing his seminar. I went up afterwards and just asked, like, hey, would you be interested in maybe being interviewed and just seeing where that goes? And he was like, absolutely, very, very avid about doing that. And so it kind of just snowballed into this really beautiful thing where we had a lot of really intense access opportunities. I got invited to observe multiple different types of horse therapy sessions on different reservations in different tribal communities, one being at the Forward Stride in Beaverton, Oregon, which is where a lot of this podcast takes place. And then kind of the other half of the podcast takes place on the Burns Paiute Reservation, where there was a pilot program being done at Mr. Spence's direction for equine therapy program for Indigenous youth. And so it kind of just became this really sweeping movement that I got to see. Mr. Spence made it very clear to me that this is something that lots of tribes across Oregon are doing. Lots of tribes across Indian country are starting to make this movement towards the cultural reclamation of horse nations. And these are tribes that came from the Pacific Northwest and Great Plains area generally, and are very closely connected in a lot of ways to horses specifically. They have a very sacred, very symbiotic relationship. We, you know, can recall in the times of pre-colonialism, we didn't have fences. And so the reasons that horses stayed around tribal people is because of this much deeper reciprocal relationship with the horses and with animals in the land generally. And so it's really, this story for me is not necessarily just about highlighting this very beautiful, very, you know, it's really a highlight of a lot of really beautiful things across Indian country in a lot of ways for me. But in a more larger, broader scope, I think that this story really kind of encapsulates what cultural reclamation can look like when it's directly involving elders and youth.
Amara, you're kind of the unseen hand behind gray area. I know you do a ton of the research around this, and I'm sure a lot of that for this particular episode went into just really the history of horse nations. What can you tell us just about that history? You don't have to go deep dive. Everybody should listen to the episode about that. But what should people know going in? And what is the, you know, modern day legacy? Is this something that's dying out in any way? Or is this equine program really kind of a testament to, no, it's not going away?
Yeah, absolutely. It was something that definitely important for us to get a clearer picture of just going into this story. So we felt like we understood the context, even just reading John's autobiography. We created a huge timeline to sort of reference all of the different treaties and land agreements and laws and milestones that happen in his life and throughout history that he references. And once we kind of started putting them all together, it really helped paint a bigger picture and helped us feel like we were able to tell this story more clearly and in a way that a lot more people would be able to tap into. With respect to the horse nation, it was really fascinating to get to learn about, you know, the history of horses in North America is in fact a kind of like hotly disputed topic. Yeah, everybody knows that the species of horse as we know them like first started in North America long before the last ice age, but nobody really know, like there it's not decided. And of course there's a whole lot of arguments and evidence on both sides and odd investments on the part of, you know, the Bureau of Land Management, who still continues to euthanize wild horses throughout Oregon to this day. So the revitalization of horse nations is tied to keeping those horses alive still and keeping the story of their existence continuously in North America alive still. So it's been an honor and absolutely like a privilege, like Nancy was saying, to learn more about. But it felt important to learn about because it's not our story. Like we're just presenting it in a way to make it accessible to as many people as possible.
You guys definitely accomplished that. It really feels like you're getting some history, you're getting some present day, and you're going on a journey. Like it really felt like you're going on this trip with you guys through the episode. So it was very cool to listen to. I'm excited for other people listen to it.
And just to piggyback off of what Mara said earlier about creating the timeline for John's life and kind of how his life's milestones, quote, coordinated against, you know, history's milestones, I think that really is a testament to the lived history that is really representative in a lot of these folks that are quoted in the story. I mean, once again, you're talking about elders who have survived boarding schools and the displacement programs and the relocation programs and the termination of tribes, which happened very, very prevalently across Oregon. And so there's going to be a lot of central, I think, people in this story, really central voices that I hope people really hear and can take a lot away from. There's obviously the kids and the horses. They make a lot of ambient sounds throughout. And I think that's really just only adds to the beauty and, again, just the interwoven nature of all of our histories. We're really, I think I want to commend, you know, Julie and Mara for doing such a great job on really weaving the voices of the historical voices, the elders' voices, and also the voices of the young people, the kids and the horses, because it really kind of, it shows kind of the backdrop of silliness that can exist even amid this history, which I think is personally really beautiful. So there's a lot of other folks in the story that I think everyone's really going to take a lot of enjoyment out of. Mr. Spence is this spunky 82-year-old that is just full of energy. It's even something, I mean, it's really amazing to watch him work and to hear him speak to these kids and really be very frank with them about his own history and his own experiences with addiction. And so there's that. And Mr. St. Martin, Jim St. Martin, is a Burns Paiute elder. He's 77. He had a very, very abusive adoptive home when he was growing up. He had an adoption that happened prior to the existence of the Indian Child Welfare Act. And so he grew up in a very, very abusive home and kind of uses that as personal fuel for what he does now. Just adds to this elder's narrative of what Julie and Mara are building in their podcast, which is just that, you know, even despite all of this violence, these elders are still gentle enough to continue to heal other people when really they don't have an obligation to do that. They can do whatever they want with that trauma and with that healing within themselves, and they choose to continue that healing and extend it beyond themselves to others, and especially to our youth. And so that's just one thing that I'll say in terms of like things to keep an eye on for the podcast. I hope everyone enjoys listening.
Nancy's also one of the principal people in the podcast. It's kind of an unusual thing where she really talks about her personal journey as a reporter covering these issues. And that's part of the story as well. And I think it's one thing that makes the podcast quite a bit different than other ways of telling these third person stories that we're all separate from. It also makes it extremely powerful. So I just want to commend Nancy for her openness and vulnerability and recording the parts that she did of her own personal journey in this. It's a very powerful piece of this story.
Thank you guys for coming on to talk about this a little bit. You know, Healing the Children of Horse Nation will be out April 3rd. We'll be featuring it on this channel here. So you don't have to do anything if you're already a subscriber to the podcast. It's just going to pop up for you. If you want to check out the rest of Julia Mara's great third season of Gray Area, that will be available both on Voices of Monterey Bay and on Safe Camp Audio Network. So I'll drop a link for people in our show notes to go check that out. Julie, Mara, and Nancy, thanks for joining us on the Imprint Weekly Podcast.
Oh, thanks for having us so much.
Thanks for having me, yes.
All right, well, if that interview didn't whet your appetite enough, here is a brief trailer of Healing the Children of Horse Nations. Again, the entirety of this program will be available and will come right into your feed on Wednesday in the Imprint Weekly Podcast feed. So you will get this full show on Wednesday, and you can check out the article that accompanies it and the photography at imprintnews.org. And here is a trailer.
One thing I liked about today, I liked being in existence.
That story is happening silently within the youth.
I grew up with fear and shame. A lot of us grew up with that. And I think you're scarred for life in a lot of ways.
Welcome to Season 3 of Gray Area. I'm Julie Reynolds. In our audio documentaries, we tell true stories about justice, redemption, and all that lies between.
You have to be able to be an Indigenous person first and be an Indigenous journalist second.
What would it look like if maybe we didn't have to do this anymore? You know, like, what if we didn't have to deal with the trauma because there's no trauma there?
In our third series, Elders, we're hearing from survivors of systemic injustice and historical trauma. They're showing the next generation what they've learned about how to address and prevent those kinds of harm. And their models offer lessons we should all pay attention to.
See, they're attracted to your story. That's what happens. They hear your story and they want to be around you.
We were Iqwa's children, and we both fought for the same cause to get kids back in homes.
The first episode of our new season is titled Uncle John, and it's produced in partnership with The Imprint. This full-length audio documentary is part of a special project showing how Indigenous elders are tapping the healing power of horses to address trauma and addiction in Native youth.
As your grandma, as your auntie, I'm not just here to be here. I'm here for a purpose.
It's an ability you can't explain, but you can see it. You can see it in these kids. I can see it on their faces.
You can trust them. As long as you have something to get out, the horses will take it in and they'll help you a lot.
The stories of joy or of triumph or the stories of just pure silliness. You know, how do we create space for this?
Yo, he can tell you're the baby. That's true. This is true.
Yeah.
You can pet him. You can pet him.
When these youth see themselves, hopefully they remember their sacredness.
No, he will not bite you. He loves you. See, look, he nuzzles.
Oh. We didn't have any of that when I was a kid. So horse nice, it's part of all that. It's part of that Indian pride and identity. Blossoming, just blossoming.
Uncle John launches April 3rd at The Imprint at imprintnews.org. Uncle John was produced by Nancy Marie Spears, Mara J. Reynolds, and me. For show notes, visit grayareapodcast.com. That's gray with an A. And to check out our full multimedia experience on this movement to indigenize child welfare, including reporting by Nancy Marie Spears and a photo essay by Josue Rivas, go to The Imprint at imprintnews.org.
Thanks to Julie Reynolds, Mara Reynolds, and Nancy Marie Spears for joining me today. And make sure to check your podcast feed and imprintnews.org on Wednesday for their incredible project, Healing the Children of Horse Nations. The Imprint Weekly Podcast is a production of the Safe Camp Audio Network, which is a division of Fostering Media Connections. Please visit safecampaudio.org on the web or at Safe Camp Audio on all major social media. This podcast is produced and mixed by Christine Onjoko with music by Luke Giroux and Cyrus Elia. If you enjoyed this episode, we would love it if you consider subscribing or giving us a 5-star rating on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you download your podcasts. We would greatly appreciate if you consider supporting our work here on the podcast and in print. Small donations from our listeners and readers go a long way towards helping us grow and cover more great stories in child welfare and youth justice. To support us, it's very easy. Just visit imprintnews.org/donate. You can follow The Imprint on Twitter and Facebook by searching the handle at The Imprint News and visit us on the web at imprintnews.org or email us at tips@imprintnews.org. I'm John Kelly, and we'll see you next week.